So we're talking with Ben Schwartz, who's an area farmer, and there's been a lot of local concern raised about this power plant called Cricket Valley. Ben, what are some of the concerns that residents have about this particular power plant?
First off, residents are concerned about their kids, just because the middle school, high school, and elementary school are all within less than a mile of the plant, and the plant does have a lot of emissions that are coming out. Another concern is the swamp, the Great Swamp, which contains the Swamp River, which the plant is built on. There's a lot of concern about acidifying of the swamp due to the sulfuric acid that's being emitted by the plant. There's also a lot of concern about lack of consent from local communities. The plant borders on Western Connecticut, which already has a lot of air problems. A lot of the towns in Western Connecticut are up in arms because they didn't know about the plant till last year. Meanwhile, the plant had been passed by the Department of Environmental Conservation of New York State in 2011.
So 2011, that would have still have been Governor Andrew Cuomo. What are you trying to get the governor and others to do about the plan at this point? I understand they're trying to open it in a few months.
I would say follow their Andrew Cuomo's own legislation. There was a bill passed in the New York State Senate just a few months ago that said that we need to get off all net zero fossil fuels by 2040. There's no way that a 1,100 megawatt fracked gas power plant with, you know, millions of tons of emissions every year is going to fit within this legislation that Andrew Cuomo signed. So I would ask him to shut down the plant or at least do stop the plant and do a study on how this is going to fit into our net zero emissions by 2040 plan that New York State government passed.
Now, you mentioned, I mentioned you were a farmer. What are some of the, you know, agricultural impacts of trying to open this facility?
Well, there's a lot of impacts. I mean, farming is difficult as it is. We are concerned about the acidification of our soil. Being that small farming is difficult, many of our area farmers depend on agrotourism. And this fossil fuel plant is very ugly. It also pollutes the air. And we're many farms in the area are very concerned that people are not going to want to come to the Harlem Valley after they put this plant up. The whole point, for example, New York City tourism is to get out of the city, and when you look at these huge smokestacks, you're going to want to go somewhere else.
Now, this is a plant a little bit south and, I guess, east of Poughkeepsie, Kingston, Newburgh, down along the Connecticut-New York border?
Yeah, correct. It's on the very eastern side of Dutchess County. So in between the Hudson Valley and Connecticut.
I've certainly seen a lot of emails in the last year about, opposition to Cricket Valley. What's been, any movement from the governor? What are the local governments urging the governor to do on this?
The governor was asked about Cricket Valley. He said that he hadn't heard of it, which to me means that he wants people to come out and show that they're very concerned about it. So that he can hear about it, and then he will take action. So we're organizing to do that now.
I understand you're having a rally coming up in next weekend?
Yeah, so November 16th is going to be a family-friendly rally at 11 a.m. in front of the plant, which is on Route 22 in between the Harlem Valley Wingdale train station and the Dover High School. We invite everyone to come out. It's going to be a great time. There's going to be also be some other direct action stuff going on, so we're excited about just bringing people out for a fun family affair with music, food, and just to learn more and to show your face and show that you're concerned and interested in our environment.
And if people want to just find out more about Cricket Valley, do you have a Facebook page or something they can go get some background information?
Absolutely. There's the Facebook page is Stop Cricket Valley. There's a New York, and there's one for Connecticut as well. And then there's also, I believe, stopcricketvalley.com, I believe. So there's a website as well.
Thank you very much, Ben Schwartz. So next we catch up with Tom Ross, who, among other groups, has been working with the Saint Energy Project. Tom, I know people are concerned about Cricket Valley as well as many other fossil fuel power plants. Why do we need to get the governor to shut down these fossil fuel infrastructure?
I think the most important reason is that they constitute a real barrier toward the state attaining its goals for renewable development as well as emissions control.
You know, and it seems that the governor has been willing to push the envelope a little bit on trying to expand the transition to renewable energy. But even though he said no more fracking of natural gas in New York, he still seems quite open to allowing it to be imported from Pennsylvania and elsewhere.
I think that being a political figure and having to be subject to pressure and influence, as well as satisfying the incentives of a number of different constituencies, we can understand how someone who's in the position of the governor would be subject to such pressures. That's understandable. However, we as citizens need to support the governor being able to take better positions that actually, in my belief, reflect his internal conscience and sense of vision and conviction about the direction the state needs to go in. And that holds true for any of the political figures in the Assembly, in the Senate. To my mind, one of the things that really has to happen, that has to happen more, that used to happen way back in the days, but hasn't happened in a long time, is that outside politics and inside politics need to find a way to work together. We need to support the people in Albany so that they can feel like there's people behind them, so that they can do the right thing and have support on that. And they can support us to implement things that are implementable pragmatically in the present as we move forward toward the future. That kind of synergy between inside and outside is politics. And I say that as a political outsider who would never conceive of myself of running for office. I think it's very important. And the antagonism between inside and outside politics, I think, can be really problematic.
Well, how do one overcome the little problem that President Trump seems almost to be a climate change denier? I knew when Greta Thunberg came to the United States and was asked that question, she said, well, in Europe, we don't have climate deniers, so I don't know how you respond to a climate denier. But how do you bring together the polarization in the United States or even New York State at this point around, say, climate change?
I think you have to do that by having a democratic vision, which includes people's concerns about a lot of different issues, not only climate change, but issues related to it, but are also outside of it. Like, for instance, the way that it must be taken as a given that the fossil fuel industry fuels a lot of the activity in our economy. So when people talk about that displacing like a fundamental part of their way of life, they're right. So we who are concerned about those things need to have the vision, like Pete Seeger says, the ability to imagine, use our imaginations to think about the impossible. But what that means is to find a way to make it possible. There's a way for people who are incentivized to, for instance, I'll use Pennsylvania as a test case, not because it's so relevant to New York, but it's where I'm from. I personally know people who, for whom it was a very hard choice for them to have frackers do work on their property and drill on their property. But what they were looking at was allowing that to happen, signing that contract to allow the companies to come in, or not being able to feed their family, being sick and tired of working at Walmart 12 hours a day, chopping wood for their neighbors and doing odd plumbing jobs for their neighbors on Saturdays and Sundays. They saw that steady stream of income and they said, here's a government that's not doing anything for me. It's sending my jobs overseas. What else can I do? We need to have the vision and the breadth of vision to be able to embrace concerns of people for all walks of life, from all different areas, economic concerns, civil rights concerns, environmental concerns. That's why it's important to democratize the movement. So it's not only the synergy of inside and outside, it's also the intersectionality of the politics. And I don't just mean intersectionality with political correctness. I mean genuine, hard intersectionality that comes from talking to people that we don't agree with on many things, so that they can realize the things that we have in common and move forward as a democratic front to make those changes against the people at the top, like Trump, who in fact are using this dissension among working class people to their advantage.
We're out of time. This has been Tom Ross with Sane Energy Project. This has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.